24. They camped about 15 miles due east of the dead bear that night, slept the sleep of the completely exhausted. Even Roland slept the night through, although his dreams were nightmare carnival rides, and were up the next morning at sunrise. Eddie kindled a small fire without speaking and glanced at Susanna as a pistol shot rang out in the woods nearby. "Breakfast," she said. Roland returned 3 minutes later with a hide slung over one shoulder. On it lay the freshly gutted corpse of a rabbit. Susanna cooked it, they ate, and moved on. Eddie kept trying to imagine what it would be like to have a memory of your own death. On that one, he kept coming up short. "25. Shortly after noon, they entered an area where most of the trees had been pulled over and the bushes mashed flat. It looked as though a cyclone had touched down here many years before, creating a wide and dismal alley of destruction. "We're close to the place we want to find," Roland said. He pulled down everything to clear the sight lines. Our friend the bear wanted no surprises. He was big, but not complacent. "Has it left us any surprises?" Eddie asked. "He may have done so." Roland smiled a little and touched Eddie on the shoulder. "But there's this. There'll be old surprises." Their progress through this zone of destruction was slow. Most of the fallen trees were very old. Many had almost rejoined the soil from which they had sprung. But they still made enough of a tangle to create a formidable obstacle course. It would have been difficult enough if all three of them had been able-bodied. With Susanna strapped to the gunslinger's back in her harness, it became an exercise in aggravation and endurance. The flattened trees and jumbles of underbrush served to obscure the bear's back trail, and that also worked to slow their speed. Until midday, they had followed claw marks as clear as trailblazes on the trees. Here, however, near its starting point, the bear's rage had not been full-blown, and these handy signs of its passage disappeared. Roland moved slowly, looking for droppings in the bushes and tufts of hair on the tree trunks over which the bear had climbed. It took all afternoon to cross 3 miles of this decayed jumble. Eddie had just decided they were going to lose the light and would have to camp in these creepy surroundings when they came to a thin skirt of alders. Beyond it, he could hear a stream babbling noisily over a bed of stones. Behind them, the setting sun was radiating spokes of sullen red light across the jumbled ground they had just crossed, turning the fallen trees into crisscrossing black shapes like Chinese ideograms. Roland called a halt and eased Susanna down. He stretched his back, twisting it this way and that with his hands on his hips. "That it for the night?" Eddie asked. Roland shook his head. "Give Eddie your gun, Susanna." She did as he said, looking at him questioningly. "Come on, Eddie. The place we want is on the other side of those trees. We'll have a look. We might do a little work as well." "What makes you think—" "Open your ears." Eddie listened and realized he heard machinery. He further realized that he had been hearing it for some time now. "I don't want to leave Susanna. We're not going far, and she has a good loud voice. Besides, if there's danger, it's ahead. We'll be between it and her." Eddie looked down at Susanna. "Go on, just make sure you're back soon." She looked back the way they had come with thoughtful eyes. "I don't know if there's haunts here or not, but it feels like there are." "We'll be back before dark," Roland promised. He started toward the screen of alders, and after a moment, Eddie followed him.